good. This morning, I just want to quickly just bring some more encouragement. But I just thought out Hebrews 12, verse number 2 says, what does it say? Hebrews 12, verse 2. Let's turn to Hebrews 12. It says, therefore, since we're surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes, and the other version say fixing, which means that you gaze, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith, because of the joy set before him, endured the cross, disregarding its shame. If you're struggling with any area in your life and you're asking yourself, how am I going to be able to overcome this thing that I'm dealing with, the things that I'm dealing with in my family? The solution comes for us from Hebrews chapter 12, basically saying, if you want to do well, if you want to succeed, if you want to face whatever situation you're facing in your family life, fix your eyes on Jesus. There is nobody else that we can look to. If the word says there's no other name that we can be saved under heaven except the name of Jesus. So that means if we have a problem, we have issues in our lives, we have addictions that we're facing, sickness that we're facing, you have to look to the Lord. There is nobody else that you can look to but to the Lord. Amen? No matter how old you are, no matter how young you are, you need to fix your eyes on Jesus, because he's the one that is going to see you through. When things get difficult for you, Jesus is the one that is going to see you through. Your parents, they'll be there for you, but it's really the Lord. And it's great that our parents are there for us, but it's really the Lord that we put our total faith and trust in. Because you know what? Your parents will let you down. Your friends will let you down. But the Lord will never let you down. He will always be with you. So that was just a little segue into our message. And I just sensed it this morning. I sensed that the Lord is here in C3 Kwinana this morning. And so I want to welcome everybody to church today. If it's your first time here, welcome again. And this morning, we're just going to continue on our series we started called Yielded. Yielded. We're yielded to the Lord. And last week, we spoke about Abraham and how he had to step out in faith. He was called to leave his father's house, his father's family, and go to a place that God was going to show him. We spoke about how it was very easy for us, it could be difficult or easy for us to struggle to step out of our comfort zone because of fear. The fear of the unknown, that, oh my goodness, if I follow the Lord, what's going to happen to me? Am I going to receive the promise that God has given to me? And that's the thing for all of us, is that God will say stuff to us. He'll give us the promise, and then the difficult part is that we have to wait for it to come to pass. And we know that as time comes about, it's very easy for us to then begin to not believe the things that the Lord has said for our lives. So this morning, I want us to, we're going to be, our series is Yielded in Waiting. How can we be yielded in waiting? Because what we're doing is that we are trusting in God's timing. So the issue, I guess, for us is that if you've ever been in a waiting room at a hospital, in fact, who's been to the emergency department before? Who wants to go to the emergency department? Let me tell you a trick if you want to get seen early. Yes. If you go there because your finger hurts, you go there, and as soon as you present yourself at the booth, just start, I'm really struggling to breathe. I'm really struggling. I'm telling you, you'll be let in straight away. Now, once you're in, you're in. After a while, you just say, oh, no, I think my heart has settled. But whilst you're at it, you might as well look at my finger. I'm telling you, if you want to be seen early, you got to pull that trick. And you know who told me this? Some friends of mine who were working at the hospital in Alice Springs. They said, you go there, just tell them your heart. Boom, and you're in. But it's going to be very difficult for them to send you out and say, no, go back and wait in the waiting room. They'll see you for your finger. So whether it's for a GP that you're waiting or it's at the emergency department, we all want to be seen straight away. The GPs, if your appointment is at 9, you might as well go there at 9:30. Because you get there at 9, they'll only see you either 15 or 20 minutes later. And it's normally a surprise if you arrive on time and they call out your name on time. You'd be surprised. Like, what? That's interesting. But then obviously you'd be happy that you'll go to see the doctor. The same as you go to a restaurant. You're in there and you're expecting your food to come after maybe 30 minutes. And then you go 45 minutes, 50 minutes, and an hour. And we all start to get agitated when things delay in our lives. Whether it's traffic, you know when the traffic turns green, especially when it's turning, you know the arrow allows you to turn. And I'm maybe 8 cars back. And it probably takes some people 15 seconds or 10 seconds, or maybe it's 5 seconds, to realize that the traffic light, the arrow has turned green, and eventually they start to move. Maybe 1 or 2 cars get in, and then it goes red. And I'm just saying, all 8 of us should have passed through. So I always make sure that if I'm turning either right or left, as soon as it turns green, I speed my way through so that others can get in. Life, sometimes when it delays, it's very difficult to be in the waiting room. It's difficult to, I remember we used to play games that, oh, when I grow up, I'm going to have X number of kids. I'm going to do this and that. And sometimes growing up takes a what? Takes a long time. And what I'll say to all our young people is that whilst you're still young, enjoy being young, because you'll be old a very long time. You'll start having responsibilities for a very long time. So whilst you're still young and under your parents' care, enjoy it. Because the game completely shifts when you're in charge of having to pay the bills. Or maybe you go into the sitting room and you find that someone is wearing a singlet with the heater on. And I'm like, no, put something else on top. And then if all else fails, get a blanket. If all that fails, then switch the heater on. Or you have the aircon is on full blast, and they've got a whole blanket on top of them covering. No, kids. So enjoy your parents' aircon and all the pleasures of your parents' home. So waiting is an issue, or may be an issue. And what I find, you see, is that we will do almost anything to avoid the discomfort of waiting. In this story of Abraham that we're going to read, we'll see that it's quite easy for us when we have to wait a very long time to try and circumvent the process, to try and get things to move very quickly. We try to help God along the way. But God wants to use the waiting room, those periods of waiting, as times of preparation, preparing us for the promises that He has given to us. And so we have to view the waiting times not as a place of punishment. Lord, why are you doing this to me? But it's a place of preparation. Yielding to God means that we must trust that His timing is perfect, even when it feels that He's running late. In Genesis chapter 15, there's a story that it goes from verse 1 to 14. And in this, and I'm going to summarize, and then I'm just going to highlight the key things. It says, sometime later, the Lord spoke to Abraham in a vision and said to him, don't be afraid, I will protect you and your reward will be great. And so Abraham said, well, what good are all your blessings? when I don't even have a son? Because he, in his mind, he was thinking, okay, you've promised me these things, but who am I going to give it to if I don't have a son? What's the point? And then he says, and then Abraham says, look, I'm going to get my servant. He's going to be my heir. But the Lord gave him the promise and said, no, your servant will not be your heir, for you will have a son of your own who will be your heir. Then he took him outside and said to him, look up into the sky and count the stars if you can. And so he goes outside, he looks, and then the Lord says, that's how many descendants you will have. And the key part, verse number 6 says, and Abram believed the Lord, and the Lord counted him as righteous because of his faith. He believed. At times, we will believe a word from the Lord. And that's the key thing, is that once you believe, the challenge is going to be, will you continue to believe? Or will circumstance cause your unbelief to evaporate? Then the Lord told him, I said, I am the Lord who brought you out of the earth, the Chaldeans. And so God is basically saying, look, I'm giving you this promise, but also understand that I have been with you all this way. And I'm giving you this land that you're going to possess. And then God says, then the Lord told him, then in fact, Abram then said, okay, how can I be sure that I will possess what you're saying? Then the Lord said to him, bring me a 3-year-old heifer, a female goat, a ram, a turtle dove. And so Abram presented these things before God. So there comes a time where God could have provided him the animals, but Abram had to do his part. Which tells me that when we're having this dialogue with God, there is a time where God is going to do stuff, but there is also a time where I'm going to have to do some stuff. And so if God has spoken to you and promised you something and through his word or through a prophecy, you have your job to do. Number one, you have to believe the word. And then secondly, your part is that you've got to remain in a place of prayer and the word of God. Just like Abram had to present those animals, he had to go and get them. You have to do something. You've got to pray and you've got to read the word of God. Verse 11 says, some vultures swooped down to eat the carcasses, but Abram chased them away. And then at the end of it, it says, after the sun went down and darkness fell, Abram saw a smoking firepot and a flaming torch pass between the halves of the carcasses. So the Lord made a covenant with Abram that day and said, I have given this land to your descendants all the way from the border of Egypt to the great Euphrates River, the land now occupied by all these other people. So God has said, the deal is, this is what I've given you. It is yours. The question for you and I is, when God has promised, are you going to remain in a position of belief? What are you doing to maintain your belief in the word of the Lord? My great encouragement for all of us today is that if we are going to be yielded to the things of God in our lives, we absolutely have got to be never abandon the place of prayer and the place of the word of God in our lives. If I just give a comparison with 1 Samuel, there's a story that is spoken of Saul. When they went to battle, the Philistines were coming and the Israelite army was very scared. And so Samuel had said to Saul, wait for me at this place, and then when I come there, we're going to sacrifice to the Lord, and then we're going to make things happen. But Samuel the prophet stayed for many days. And so Saul got scared because all his soldiers were leaving. And he decided to take things into his own hands, and he offered the burnt offering, which wasn't his job to do. And so as he had finished offering the burnt offering, the prophet arrived. And so Samuel said to him in verse 11, what have you done? And then Saul said, I saw my men scattering from me, and you didn't arrive when you said you would. And the Philistines are ready for battle. The Philistines are ready to march against us. and I hadn't asked for the Lord's help. So I felt compelled to offer the burnt offering myself before you came. These are the words of Samuel. How foolish, Samuel exclaimed. You have not kept the Lord your God, the command God gave you. Had you kept it, the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom must end, for the Lord has sought out a man after his own heart. This tells me, or it tells us, that if we don't stay in the word, the promise that we have, it is quite easy that we will lose it. It is quite easy that we will lose. You have not kept the command. Had you kept it, the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. So there is this thing that is saying that I have to stay. I have to put things around me. I have to be intentional in my life to make sure that I don't lose the word of the Lord just because God is taking a long time for things to happen. And then all of a sudden, otherwise unbelief will come. And then all of a sudden, I will lose the promise that God had for my life. So the struggle for all of us in waiting, you see, is that Abram was called at 75 years old. He was 86 years old. Because what happened, you see, after this happened in chapter 16, Abraham's wife, Sarai, said, look, the Lord is taking a very long time, so why don't you, here, you can have my female servant. And so Abraham, for whatever reason, obliged and said, oh, thank you very much. This will be my, new partner. That created all sorts of problems for him. Here he was given the promise that you will, didn't we just read it? It said that you will have your own son who will be your heir. But he couldn't wait. He couldn't wait for the Lord to make things happen. He decided to take things into his own hands. However, Isaac, his son, was born when he was 100 years old. So he had to wait a very long time, 25 years for this to happen. Saul had to wait for at least 7 days for Samuel to come. And then when Samuel came, they would have offered the sacrifice. And then, of course, the Lord would have come and defeated the Philistines that were attacking them. But he didn't wait. He couldn't wait. The problem is that Saul lost the kingdom. And when I thought about it, I said, Lord, Abraham waited 25 odd years. He stuffed up after 11 years. This guy lasted 7 days and he lost the kingdom. That seems very unfair to me. Why is that? And so why did God punish Saul and not Abraham? And then I thought, and as I thought about it more, that this promise that was given was an unconditional one for Abraham, but not for Saul. Saul's promise that he would be king was a conditional promise. His ability to reign as king forever was predicated on his ability to obey the things that God had said. So what is a covenant? A covenant is an agreement that was made. It was a sacrificial ritual. They would kill some animals, and then both parties would then walk, just like there's an animal this side and there's an animal this side, and so both of us would walk. And by walking through the dead carcasses, we are symbolizing that we are in agreement. This is a blood and a binding oath. That is why the blood was spilled. And so the issue is that a covenant, when they were made in the biblical times, it was for life and it was unbreakable. So this is the promise that was given. Now, if you understand in chapter 15, verse 17, it basically says that when Abraham saw a smoking fire pot and a blazing torch, and it then says that these two things symbolized God. There was only one person that walked between the pieces, and that was the Lord, basically saying, I'm going to make sure that I will bring this to pass. Because normally it would be both the parties to the covenant walking through, but this one, it was only the Lord that walked through, symbolizing how this God is the one saying, hey, I'm going to make sure that your promise is going to come to pass. You don't have to help me in this instance. Whereas, so the struggle for us, will we wait on God's timing? Will we yield to waiting on God's timing? As he has given the promise, we know Saul failed. He couldn't wait 7 days. Abraham also failed. But the reason why God still brought the promise through was because it was an unconditional promise that God had made. We have conditional promises that if you do this, I will do that. So we've got, if we believe, then we are set free. Just like us, the unconditional promise that was given to Abraham is the same thing that we have when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That we believe by faith that Jesus died for our sins, that he was the Son of God, he came, he died for our sins, he died and rose again. And so we know, so we've got this promise in our hearts that says, I believe in the Lord, so when I die, I'm going to what? I'm going to heaven. However, if I then decide to go back and do my own thing, guess what's going to happen? I'm going to make it very hard for myself to enter heaven. That's what the Bible tells us. So that these things for us, as we believe, there's certain things that we need to do in our lives. So this issue of the vultures swooping, the vultures came down when Abraham prepared the sacrifice. The vultures came down, but it said that Abraham chased them away. So Greg Allen, in his sermon, Driving Away the Vultures, says, notice that these vultures come at a time when we are waiting for God to work. And I quote, he says, that was the case for Abraham. God had made a promise to him that he would be a great nation and that the land would belong to his offspring. But after Abraham had prepared the offering that God told him to prepare, and as he was waiting for God to act, that's when the vultures came to devour them. They come at the waiting time when we don't see God acting on our behalf. The vultures will not come before we have prepared ourselves to embrace God's promise. This tells me that we all have to be super intentional at never abandoning the place of prayer in our lives, never abandoning the word of God in our lives. And you know, I think that for me, my biggest challenge, and it has been not just when I became a pastor, but even before, my biggest challenge was praying and reading the word of God. Because the enemy likes it when you don't devote a lot of time to prayer and reading the word of God. Because we need to have some spiritual intelligence. You see, Jesus, when he was tempted by the devil, what did he say when the devil said, do this, turn these stones into bread? What was the mechanism he used to defend himself? It was the Bible. This is the same thing for us. We have to take the advice and the way that Jesus lived his life and recognize that this is the one thing we cannot do away with in our lives. But unfortunately, it is possibly the one thing that we get attacked on most, and it's mostly for me, well, back then it was, the first thing that I would abandon. I'm too busy, I gotta go and get up and go to work. But we have to be yielded to the Lord. However, whichever way you read your Bible, whatever time you wake up to do it, the issue is that you have to what? You have to do it. You have to pray. You cannot abandon the place of prayer in your life. Because you see, the God in his time will begin to reveal things to you as you stay prayed up, as you stay focused on the word of God. But if you abandon it, it just is going to make things very difficult for you. Because the Lord is going to begin to whisper things in your life. The other thing that happens, you see, is that the vultures in our lives don't come before we have prepared ourselves to embrace God's goodness. And also, these things threaten to defile or steal away what we have obediently devoted to God. And so when we make a choice in our lives to say, you know what, I'm going to commit myself to prayer. I'm going to commit myself to reading the word. Guess what's one area you're going to be challenged in? That area. I might be, if you have an addiction, and you say, guess what happens when you have addiction? I'm going to give up. All of a sudden, the challenge comes in what? In giving up. It could be anything. Addiction to shopping. I've told you repeatedly, and I've been very honest about my addiction to, it was a bit weird, the shopping. As soon as I would arrive from Port Hedland, I couldn't wait to go into Maya. But what happens? You buy stuff that you don't wear. Just this trying to fill a need. But God can break those addictions. And for me, it was just a word that came to say, hey, these things don't finish. You take two trousers off the rack, they put four more back. And that changed completely the trajectory of the spending, because that spending was fulfilling a need. Oh yeah, I'm gonna get this. And then you have lots and lots and lots of pairs of shoes. And the good thing is I'm not an octopus. I only wear two shoes at a time. If I was an octopus, I envy them. They've got eight legs. So this thing, we are going to be challenged in the area of our commitment and in the area that we've made promises to God, or God has made promises to us. If you're running a business, you cannot run a business without the Lord in your life. Let me tell you this, and let me warn you, that if you run a business or you are in charge of anything, never do it without the word of God in your life and without prayer. Worse off, if you are responsible for a family, never do it without the word of God or prayer in your life, because God is going to whisper things about what your children are doing. But you abandon the place of prayer, then the enemy just comes and snatches them. You cannot run a business, or you cannot run a department, or whatever it is in your life, without prayer and God leading you and directing you. I want to stress that, because God will whisper things to you. Call this person. And the moment you call them, God just opens a door for you. I was sitting at the University of Wollongong lecturer's tutor's room. And normally, as a tutor at the university, you only get work per session. So each semester, they give you an allocation of hours. So, we're coming towards the end of the term. I'm thinking in my head, oh my goodness, what am I going to do for next term? And then I just had a thought came to mind, call this person. And then when I called the man, he says, all right, come for an interview tomorrow at the Wollongong University College. The next thing, I'm a lecturer in accounting and economics. This is why it's important that we never abandon the place of prayer in our lives, constantly through the day. Lord, I commit this to you. Whatever it is that you're doing, you commit to the Lord. You are committing your children to the Lord. Because the Lord would tell you, hey, something is off. And our mothers are good at this, of knowing when their children are lying. Fathers, maybe we're a bit slow in knowing. But I think what happens is that as we constantly bring our kids before the Lord, he will, because he cares about them, he will whisper things to you to say, hey, I need you to check this with this individual. And you will find that you'll be surprised at what you will find and what the Lord would reveal to you. So the enemy will always seek to attack when we have decided to obediently devote ourselves to God. So the battle for you and I is remaining yielded to the discipline of prayer and the word in our lives, because that is what is going to sustain us during the waiting period. Amen? So I wonder, are you struggling to wait on God? You can't wait. I got to do something. My encouragement this morning is that you, or this afternoon now, you yield your impatience and trust that God's timing is perfect. Abraham, he tried to get things going, but it was to his detriment. Do you understand? Saul lost the kingdom. Abraham was forgiven by God, but do you understand there were consequences for his disobedience? Ishmael was born, and that it just created a whole new set of issues. Now, you guys, when you think of Ishmael, or Hagar, and Sarah, you think, ah, big deal. If you've grown up in a household where you've got step parents, you definitely understand the chaos that a man having multiple relationships will cause for you. Because there's hardcore competition. Because, you see, the children of the wives will be competing against each other. The wives are competing against each other, and the children are going to be enemies of each other, because they'll say, Dad never treated my mom as fairly as you. So chaos. We understand in human relationships, there's always going to be strife. So there are consequences for disobedience. God still gave Abraham the promise. Isaac still was born, but he still had to deal with the consequences of them taking things into their own hands. Because when the servant wife had her child, she obviously started to show off to Sarah, because she says, well, I'm the one with the kid, you don't. So it creates chaos when we disobey the Lord. And so one thing I would encourage you to do is to surrender your need for control and allow God to work in his moments, believing that his promises will come to pass at the right time. We need to be guided by Jesus. Jesus waited on the Father's timing throughout his ministry, and especially before his crucifixion. He did. Can we have the musicians? Thank you. He did not rush the process, but he trusted God's perfect timing in everything. Even when Even when he was faced with the agony of the cross, he waited on the Lord. And so as we stand this morning, as we finish, I'll just invite us all to stand. The waiting room is not a place of punishment, but it's a place of preparation. And so my prayer for all of us today is that God would help you and I. Yes, thank you. Develop the patience and trust in his timing. Prayer enables us to yield our impatience and submit to God's timing, trusting that his ways are perfect. So, Father, I thank you today for your people. I thank you, Lord God, that the battle is yours. That, Lord, as you've given us a promise, Lord God, you've given us, each and every one of us, a promise. And, Father, I pray that, Lord, we would be intentional with fighting off the vultures that come to take away the things that we have committed to you. That we would never abandon the place of prayer in our lives, the place of your word in our lives, that these become central pillars in our life, in all that we do. That no matter what we lose, Lord God, the one thing that we don't lose is your word. Because your word says that your word is a lamp unto my feet. It is a light unto our path. That your word lights the way for us and it guides us. And I pray, Lord God, that we would submit to your guidance through your word. Give us the courage, Lord God, to wait on your timing, to wait on you, Lord God, because we know that as you move, Lord, at just the right time, your promises for our lives would be fulfilled. Your promises for our family would be fulfilled. And so, Father, I give you all the praise and all the glory. And Father, we do this by fixing our eyes on Jesus. we fix our eyes on Jesus. Teach us to be those that would fix our eyes on Jesus this morning. I just have some prayer points that I would like to pray. I sense the Lord say this to me during the week, that He wants me to pray for healing. And this healing is for chronic issues. And it's also for those things that are... So chronic means it's there all the time. And then if you've got recurring headaches that come and go, whatever it is, but it's something that comes and goes, I want you to come up to the front here for prayer, and me and the team will pray for you. If you have addictions, any addiction that you have, this is the time. If you have a shopping addiction, you've just got something that, you know that you got something because you can't break free from it. You feel bound. Now is the time to come up for prayer for that. We're going to pray that the Lord would deliver you from that. And what we're going to do is that we're going to call on the mercy of the Lord. The mercy of the Lord, which is His willingness and His ability to heal and to set us free. Psalm 107 says this. It says, "Give thanks to the Lord for His good. His mercy endureth forever." If you read that whole Psalms, it paints a picture of people that are in trouble, but God rescues them from their distress. And so this morning, if those things that I've called out, recurring illness or anything that is chronic, or you've got addictions in your life, in any order, what song are we singing? Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus, yes. And I would just invite everybody not to just switch off at this moment, but to really begin to intercede for these people that will come up, so that God would break those things off them. And so I encourage your participation in all of this. So let's sing Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. And if you need prayer, please come and we'll pray for you and for healing, whatever it is.